This is Josephine Hart, reading from my new book, The Truth About Love. Ta-da. Olivia, is that you, Olivia? It is, Dada. I'm here outside your bedroom door. Come in, child. No, Dada, I'm standing outside. Can you come out, Dada? Ah. Ah. Yes, coming, child. What is it, Tom? Tom, what is it? What's happening? Olivia, Olivia, come in here this minute. No, Mamma. It's nothing, ma'am, it's nothing. Just there's a mouse in my room. Will you come, Dada? Will you come now, quickly? Coming, child. I'm coming. That's rubbish, Olivia. Go back to sleep. You're 17. Tell her, Tom. Tell her she's got to stop this nonsense about mice and spiders in her room. It's all nonsense. Ah, oh, please, Mamma. If Dad had just come and checked for me, I can go back to sleep and we can all go to see him in the hospital first thing in the morning. Please come now, Dada. I'm coming, child. Don't close the door, Tom. I think I will, Sissy. You need to sleep. I'll be back in a minute, and don't worry, she'll grow out of the spider thing. She's 17, Tom. Ah. Oh. Hurry back to me, Tom. I will, Sissy, I will. I'll just close the door for a second. Olivia, child. He's dead. Oh, my God, who told you? Father Dwyer, just now. I heard a car turn into the road. I knew it must be Dr. Carter or Father Dwyer. I knew he was dead. About half an hour ago, I just felt it. I felt him gone. I got up and I dressed and I sat on my bed and I waited for the news. And it came. I heard the gate and then I opened the door. I didn't want him to press the bell. And Father Dwyer was just standing there. I looked at him and he shook his head. He couldn't find the words. And I closed the door on him. And I went into my room and I thought, how can I bring the news to Dada without her knowing first? And then I thought of all my old fears, spiders and mice. Ah, Dada, Dada, what will we find to help us to tell her? What words will we find? Where will we find them? I don't know, Olivia. I really thought we'd have time. I thought this awful night, hiding the truth from her, lying there a liar, trying to save her from the truth, clawing at time, Olivia. We clawed at time to try and save her from the shock, to get her through the shock, which I thought would kill her. I was certain it would kill her, and that if we could hold it off, then I'd give the time to him. I thought he had a chance. I thought he'd be unconscious, and they'll come to tell me to come. They'll tell me. I was waiting for Sullivan. What have I done? Oh, God, what have I done? God must help me now, help our family, help us tell her. We'd better face it now, Olivia. There is no waiting now. No way out of this one, is there, Olivia? Listen, child, whatever you're about to see, after all you've seen today, no, it can be survived. Just stay beside me, Olivia, and together we'll go to the bedroom. Just wait for a second. Help me now, God, because now I'm going to open that door slowly. Tom? Tom? Yes, yes, Sissy, darling Sissy. Did you find the mouse? No, Sissy. You were right. There was no mouse. There's never been a mouse. Have you ever found a mouse or a spider in that girl's bedroom? No, Sissy. What were you two whispering out there in the dark? What, Tom? What whispering? What? I think we must face it now, Olivia. Hold my hand now, Olivia. We can't stop her knowing now. It's rolling in, rolling over us. The truth. Olivia was always too imaginative, wasn't she, Tom? Say nothing now, Olivia. Wasn't she, Tom? Always too imaginative. And tonight, how could she do that to us tonight? Too imaginative. Tom? Olivia? Answer me. Weren't you always too imaginative? Wasn't she, Tom? Put on the light, Tom. Tom, let me look at you, Tom, in the light. Come over to me. Look at me in the light. Here I am, Sissy. Come closer, Tom. Let me look at you, Tom, in the light. Look at me, Sissy. Look at me. Oh, no. No, 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 and no. Oh, my God, Olivia. Stop it, Sissy. Stop beating your fists on the wall. Sissy, you'll hurt yourself. Let me hold you, darling Sissy. No, no. Not my boy. Not my darling boy. Not my darling child, my darling boy. Stop it, Mama. Olivia, run to Dara's room. Don't let him in here. Let me beat this wall for him. Let me out of this bed. I want to beat the floor down to the earth. Let me beat down the earth for him. My darling boy, boy, boy. Never let me stop beating this down, beating it down. Hurry, stop Dara, Olivia. Go now. I'll be back in a second, Dada. Ah, Sissy, let me hold you, Sissy. Let go of me, Tom. Let me beat this down, down. Olivia, it's all right, Dada. Dara's just sitting there looking out the window. He's not even crying. What's that noise at the door? Someone's beating on the front door. Why don't they ring the bell? Ah, there. The bell's ringing. I'll get it, Dada. Dr. Sullivan, come in. Where is she, Olivia? Where's your mother? They're in the bedroom. Right, let's go. Tom. Oh, Tom, what can I say? Stop that, Sissy. Give me your arm. Come on now. You've got to do this for me. Sissy, I want you to stay still just for a second. I'm going to give you an injection. Help me roll up the sleeve of her nightdress, Tom. This will knock her out. She won't sleep for that long, but when she wakes, she will be under control. Good girl, Sissy. Let's get you back into bed. Well done. God, why wasn't I here when it happened? I know. Christ, I was in Tipperary with that bloody son of mine who was never out of... Oh, God, sorry, Tom. Me talking about my boy. Sorry. I got here as fast as I could. I talked to Carter and to the surgeon, Connolly. There never was any hope at all. No hope at all that he could have survived what happened. And, Tom, it's best that he didn't. Hold on to that piece of knowledge. And here, take these. These pills will take the edge off the shock of it. I'll give half or one each to Olivia and Dara. Do what you're told now, Tom. And Tom, I know why you did what you did, staying here with Sissy. In holding it off, the truth, by staying with her here, keeping her away from the hospital, you did the right thing to try to pretend for a few hours. She's been so ill after the death of the little girl. So you bought her a few hours. Essential, Tom, because with the raw memory of the other, this shock would have been too much for her. Her mind needed time to absorb it a bit. I'd say she knew immediately. But she ran to a hidden place, a buried place. And you gave her time there, Tom. You saved her mind. You saved Sissy. And that's love, Tom. Love helped you to do the right thing. You were right. Remember that. No man has ever loved a woman more. Love? For love, we're asked to do the strangest things in life. Love. It asks the strangest sacrifices. Months later. This young man is talking to me. This young man wants me to talk to him. Everybody wants me, Sissy O'Hara, to talk to them. It will be a triumph for them. Sissy, talk to me, they'll say. Chat it away, just like old times. If we talk in this country, we're all right. silence is death to us. And that's why my silence frightens them. Let them be frightened. I'm sorry, let them be frightened. I don't want to make the sound words make any more. Not me, say I. Not me. Mrs. O'Hara. Mrs. O'Hara. Talk to me, Mrs. O'Hara. We've been sitting here a while now, Mrs. O'Hara. We have indeed. And why not sit in silence? Why not live in silence? The Cistercians do. They look radiant. Maybe they've got all the answers, since they never ask a question. So you, Brendan Begley, sitting opposite me here, do not ask me for the sound of words. Everyone is hungry for the sound of the word, for the fare of life. We feel we'll starve without it, and we fear starvation. But I am not hungry, not for human sound, nor for those who make it. I'm not hungry for people, neither the sight nor the sound of them. I am hungry for nothing except what I cannot have. I will starve within and without, without him. What is it that they want from me when they say, Sissy, you have other children? Should I feed on them? No. And so I eat less and less. They are all worried about me. They think I'm dying. Tom thinks I'm dying. Dying? I'm dead. In the week before Tom finally relented and let me come here, he tried one last time to love me back to life. Love. He has such faith in love. He is love. He believes that he can make it course through me, a circulation of love pumping from his heart into my heart, pushing through the veins, pumping and pushing that old rhythm that brought life into the world. He thinks love, his love, can bring me back to life. A man in love never gives up. Never. Tom O'Hara is certain he will not fail in this, and he knows that if he fails in this, he is lost. And I know that. I am what he has to show for life. I am all he has to show for life. That his love for me triumphed, and the children who followed. Two of them gone. And still I could not join him. He was holding his heart out to me. There you are, Sissy. Take it. Partake of it. This is my body. The way the Sacred Heart cries out to us in that picture in the kitchen. What a picture in a kitchen. You'll see his Sacred Heart bleeding in bedrooms and kitchens all over Ireland. But never in sitting rooms, or in none that I've seen. No, sitting rooms are for mahogany sideboards and sherry glasses. Waterford glasses. Cut as though by a dentist's drill into so many peaks of sharpness, it's a wonder we've ever had the courage to touch them. And Irish linen napkins. Huge, with heavy folds you could almost hide an infant in. Polished wood and crystal clarity and white napkins. Order. Perfect order in sitting rooms and in convent parlours. And bleeding hearts and kitchens. And he brought his bleeding heart to me and all the bulk of his man's body towards me like a gift. It's what women want, they say, heart and body. And I was still frozen, looking at him with nothing. No light or warmth glimmering in my face. Nothing. I gave him nothing. I left him lying there with his heart in his hand. He could be lying there for eternity. The place I'm in is the place I will stay. It's not a place for Tom. It has no place for him. I do not want him here, and never will again. And that's the truth. I do not want Tom here. I'm waiting for someone else, someone I have not seen in many months, someone I will never see again. My son is dead. There can be no doubt about it. None at all. I have left Tom and Olivia and Dara. They must be lonely, I suppose, but I can't help them now. So I've gone down somewhere to a place without a name. Maybe someday an explorer will find it and will map it out. Is it an island I'm on? How did I get here? Was the crossing rough? And this hidden place on this island, how did I find it? Were there twists and turns? Did I stumble? Or was I thrown down here? Maybe I'll be the one to map it, to write the directions, and then, with all my late-come cruelty, I'll put up a sign that says, "Keep out." Stay out, Tom. Stay out. Stay with those who live, Tom. We separated from each other even before I came into this hospital. The first separation of our souls. That's a deep separation. We two, who lived so peacefully in one another's souls and whose bodies slept so peacefully together night after night. No separation except to have my children, and then home after days to the shape of the night, which was his shape, shaping the hours and shaping me into the morning when I would disentangle and wait for nightfall again. But that's over now. I would not respond. And that is separation. It lies in the turning away, in the blank look that says, "I do not recognize you anymore. Are you you? Are you? Were you my lovely husband? And who are you now? Tell me, who are you now?" Ah, that is separation. Leaving a man with all the history of the words that worked, and the stroking that worked, the union that worked, leaving him with all the things he learned and all that life of love, amounting to nothing. Nothing. Nothing working anymore. It was sad to listen to him. He was whispering, because we always whispered in bed, even before the children came. Why? I don't remember. The children took longer to come to me than I'd imagine. But they came. I always told Mrs. Garvey, "They're waiting for you, May. When they're ready, they will come." And one of them is clearly ready. Someone told me May Garvey is pregnant again. She kept it secret until she was past the danger time. Didn't tell me. Kind. That was kind. And this time she is certain. They say that he or she will make it to the gate of life and push it open and tumble into life screaming. And his or her mother will be laughing wildly. I remember the wild laughter after Olivia. Laughter that was even wilder after... after. They say it doesn't matter whether it's a boy or a girl. It does, though. You're looking for yourself in a girl. And with a boy, it's all a wonder. It's all a wonder. Fathers and daughters, is it all a wonder? Not with Tom. They're great friends, Tom and Olivia. I was never friends with my boys. No. And Dara? Mysterious child. I can't think at all about my other daughter. Silent I remain, as did she. But all a wonder? No. Tom is all a wonder with me. Only with me. He lay whispering last night. Last night? No. Sure wasn't I in here last night, and the night before, and before. What day is it now? What night was it then? Anyway, whatever night it was, he tried again. After we'd been lying there, me, frozen, even under all those blankets and eiderdowns, he said, "Sissy, listen to me. Come over to me, Sissy, like you used to." I lay there and I whispered, less than a whisper. The sound was like a leaf falling, because I thought it would hurt him less if he could barely hear me. "I can't, Tom, I can't." And then his slow sighing. "All right, darling." And me trying to save him with a little bit of energy still left for him, and whispered again, "Give up on me, Tom. Let me drift away." And his, "No, Sissy. We started out on a road and we're going on together." Remember that little advertisement, the two children in their start-right shoes walking hand in hand, that I framed for you years ago? Is it in the attic now? I was so tired, but I made a bit of an effort for old time's sake. "I don't know where it is, Tom." I did. I didn't it. I didn't want to remember what had been waiting down the road for us. I never knew how he managed to get a copy of the original advertisement, God knows where. But he had it framed, and I kept it on my dressing table, and when I used to put my lipstick on each day, I'd think, there you are, sissy, armed for the fray, and I'd pat the picture. The Startright kids. The children holding hands with the long road before them. Why did it mean so much to us? Is it all just the memory of childhood dreams? I can't think of those things anymore, or of the weariness of carrying all this love from him. It's heavy, his love. He just won't take it away. It's tiring me out, all his love. And his voice comes back, sissy, travelling down the road with you was all I have ever wanted in life. And I'll tell you something else. That's all there is in life. It's the greatest thing in life, the glory of it, sissy, the beauty of it. So no matter how long this takes, I'll wait. I'll wait for the slightest sign from you, and then I'll wait for the sign after, and then I'll make you laugh a few times, and I'll bring you a pair of shoes from Dublin, or a pale blue silk scarf, or a new twin set. Blue's your colour. Miss Coyle will help me with the shade. I'll wait, because I know you won't wear it for a while, because colour will hurt you. But one day you will wear it, and I'll be there waiting for you, to look at me again, really look at me. And I'll wait for the day you walk head high up the road. And I'll notice your feet lift a little. And I'll know that within maybe a year or so, you'll walk the way you once did. So gracefully, sissy. I loved to walk beside you. You'll go back to your lipstick. And I'll buy you a gold compact, old and beautiful. I'll search in those little shops in Dublin where secret histories are wrapped up in little velvet envelopes. And I'll be drawn to the right one. The one owned by a woman who was loved day and night, night and day, by a man who couldn't believe that he had walking beside him the treasure of all the world. Oh, I'll wait, sissy. Indeed you will, Tom. Poor Tom. You'll always wait for me. But I'm gone, Tom. I'm gone. Then I thought, try to help him, sissy, for old time's sake. Haul yourself up through all these layers of silence which press down on me here in this place that I stay in now. It's a hidden animal place. Try, sissy. Try for old time's sake. I did. You can give me that. I found a few words. I'm lying here, Tom, listening to the loveliness of all this. But it's as though the words are just wisps of poetry that I don't understand. I'm so sorry, but I can't love anything. Oh, but he would not stop. Love lines pouring out of him until I had to say again a bit louder this time, stop loving me. I'm too tired for love. You're full of love, sissy. It's just frozen at the moment. I think it's to protect you. Even to feel a little love now would hurt too much. You're all bruised by love and by the absence of who you loved. That's what it is, a constant absence. He's missing. I couldn't stand it. I shouted at him. But he's missing in the house. In the house, Tom. Don't you understand? In the house. I could hear Tom crying beside me. What else could he do? What else could I do? Nothing. After a long time, he whispered, we'll walk around the house, sissy, in and out of bedrooms, and we'll find him again one day, the easier memories. It's his absence we'll find. That's all, Tom. Well, sissy, if that's all, maybe absence has its own power. Maybe you can snuggle down absence in you. Honour it. Love it. Come on, sissy. Come for a walk with me around the house. Let me take your hand, my lovely love, and we'll walk round this house in a dream, into every room, and tell each other how it is that we remember him. Look, the door of our bedroom. Remember how he'd peer in, such a skinny, sunny lad? A bit too soft for his own good. And then he'd go scuttling back to his own room. And then I did an heroic thing. I took his hand and walked around our kingdom, and he was my guide. It was all a dream. What did it matter? It was a dream walk, hand in hand, Tom and me, in the bed where we made them. And look, there in the hall, where he slipped on the wet tiles and broke his arm. Come to the kitchen. Do you remember him sitting there, mushing up the jelly and the ice cream into a raspberry or orange-coloured mess, grinning all over his face? Ah, well. Do I see some comics and a few Reader's Digest? Do you remember the way he'd cut things from the Reader's Digest to give to Mrs. Garvey, to help her about the babies? He was a bit sweet on Mrs. Garvey. They had a bit of an understanding. Isn't it strange, the people with whom that little bit of love happens, nothing grand or great, just a little bit of love, recognition. There was something hurt in him as well, like Mrs. Garvey. Maybe the asthma, that might have been it. Not able to run. No, able to run, but not allowed. That's different. But he did all right at the swimming. I wondered at that. I often wonder, Sissy, was he all that happy at school? Strange to ask that now. We thought we'd years ahead to talk to him. Years and years. It's a mistake we all make, Sissy. We wouldn't be able for life otherwise. And I thought, I'm not able for it, Tom. Nor will I ever be able again. The broken perfection of my boy, part of him missing, lies out there in the graveyard. And all of him is missing here in this house, here in my life. And I whisper to Tom, all of him is missing as I lie here, waiting, waiting. Let's love just the memory, Sissy, like they say, in loving memory. And he cradled me, and at last I let him. Poor Tom. Then he took my hands to his lips and kissed each long bony finger. My hands don't belong to me at all. I'm a round woman. Then Tom opened the top buttons of my nightdress and found first one and then the other breast and stroked them too. And I suppose he began to hope. And his hands moved to stroke my legs and then my thighs and for a moment I felt the pity of it all. But I just couldn't come out of this place I am in. I just couldn't. I can't. I can't. Oh, Tom, I just can't. And, oh, Lord, that man, that lovely man, just said, as though he were, like Christ, the very embodiment of love. It's all right, Sissy. I will just keep on loving and stroking and waiting. Down however many years it takes, I'm going to bring you back to love. Which is life, Sissy. I can do it. I can do it. So here I am in this mental hospital. I'm not afraid to say these words, but only to myself. Mrs. O'Hara, Mrs. O'Hara, the young man is calling out to me again. I know this young man, known him for years. He's trying to talk to me by talking to me. Trying to break into me and pull out the words, to show them like a miracle. Behold her, listen to her, she speaks, Sissy speaks. No. No miracles today, Brendan. I look around me. Why? I have no interest in where I am. But I am. Still. And I suppose I must be placed somewhere. So they have placed me in this room. I did not protest. Why should I? I am in a little consulting room. Looks like a sitting room, really, in the hospital. There are no mahogany tables. No crystal, either. Too dangerous. This is a bleeding heart sitting room without the picture. Still, it's cheerful enough, with the view of a high cypress hedge that almost hides the stone wall. Mental hospitals need to be careful, I suppose. Walls are built for different reasons. Who'd break into a mental hospital? And I never heard of anyone breaking out of this one. Though I suppose it must happen. I won't be the first. I want to be here. I came here. Olivia is angry with me. She is ashamed, I think. Mrs. O'Hara, did you hear what I was saying? I wonder why he's calling me Mrs. O'Hara in that tone. He used to steal the apples from the back garden. He knows who I used to be, Sissy O'Hara. The lady, as they used to call me. Who was she? Mrs. O'Hara. I was always quiet with the hidden thing within me, the knowledge that no woman on earth was more loved than me, that I could guide and protect my children and keep my house and live love all the time. Live love. Just that. What woman would let anyone in on such a secret? It would be too unfair. And when life got so tough for Tom, was that my fault? I had to have him near me when, oh God, when I fought that long battle for my daughter. He closed that business he had and did as I asked. He was on call for me and my fear. Don't be further than 5 minutes from me, Tom, in case she... Yes. 5 minutes. I insisted. We should have moved to another town then, and I'd not have been destroyed by this second death. Mrs. O'Hara? Sissy? He can't make up his mind, poor boy. Is it Mrs. O'Hara or Sissy? You wanted to come in. It's such a good sign. I'm here because of the pain, I want to say to him. The pain beyond feeling. Pain so bad the only place I wanted to be was in hospital. I'm hoping you can control the pain, because perhaps the only thing to finish it is death. I want death. Often it washes over me like a benediction. I want death. A sin. Despair. Is that my sin? But God seems determined to take his time, and his terms are tough. You can't end it by yourself. You have to wait till he decides to put you out of your misery. Gives you some disease, or if he's kind, a heart attack, to rip the life out of you by tearing the heart to pieces. Well, it's shredded, as far as I'm concerned, but it keeps on stubbornly beating. I think you're doing this for Tom and the children. Did he need training for this child? Let me think.